Let's change tack now for a little bit and head across the ditch and have a chat to Simon Doyle, former New Zealand cricketer these days. Magnificent broadcaster because the Kiwis have got the Windies over there for a couple of T20s at the moment. Two down, one to go. In fact, it's today, later on today at Mount Maunganui. And Simon joins us. Good morning, Simon.
Daniel, Adam, how are we, boys?
We are terrific, thank you, mate. How's the world over there in New Zealand?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. We've got capacity crowds. We've got a little bit of cricket getting underway. The weather's been a bit dodgy, to be fair, to the start of summer, as it can sometimes be at this time of year with the changing of the seasons. But we have managed to get through a couple of games, and New Zealand had a pretty good start.
Yes, they won both of the other T20s to date. And as I mentioned before, there's another one today. And as a pretty special performance yesterday, we saw from your boy Glenn Phillips, who put on a, what do you make, 150 balls or something?
Yeah, incredible performance yesterday. I mean, it's been a guy, I guess, in Glenn Phillips that he's only seen potential in for probably about 2 or 3 years now, but we haven't seen the best of him. He's had a terrific off-season. He spent his COVID time, as you said yesterday, in the gym, just basically getting powerful, getting stronger, realising that you know, his go for New Zealand was around the T20 and 50-over formats more than anything else. Went away to the CPL, had a very good time of it in the CPL, and we just saw a little glimpse of, or probably more than a glimpse yesterday, of what he can produce now. So starting to get some good numbers and some good players towards the top of that order now, given Conway making his debut as well. So real positive signs for New Zealand moving forward. We've been awful, to be fair. We've been really poor at T20 cricket in the last little while. We lost 8 in a row coming into this series, and you know, our world ranking is well down the list.
So he's done a Bryson DeChambeau, Glenn. He's gone into the gym and got himself bigger and stronger. He's hitting it further and further.
The shakes.
That's right, exactly. It kind of feel like you said, I mean, the Kiwis haven't been great at the shortest form for a while, but this is what you need. You need it to be more than just Guptill and Kane Williamson, and to find these other players that can do it for you helps. You've got a few around the edges, but you need that next one to come through as a genuine batsman.
Yeah, I think the numbers have been a real issue for us, guys. You know, we can probably have a good test match team, a good 50-over team, or a good T20 team, if we're picking the same players time and time again. And to me, I think we need to be going down the track of picking a specialist T20 side. Yes, there will be one or two crossovers, and I think that's one thing that Australia have probably done very well and better than most, is that they've identified a T20 side and said, OK, this is our T20 team, these are our main T20 players, but they're vastly different from what our test side is going to be. New Zealand don't have the resources and the playing numbers to be able to do that, or haven't had, and I don't think we've concentrated enough on it. So this is the first step in that direction, I think, to find some specialist T20 players. Then you throw a Williamson in who can control things, captain the side, do it that way, your Fergusons, and I don't think Tim Southee's long for the T20 side, to be honest. So your test match players, you're probably going to see a Williamson and a Bolt, and in the future, I think that's probably going to be close to it. Maybe Kyle Jamieson. So New Zealand are finally figuring that puzzle out, and we're finally getting enough players playing in some of the leagues around the world where we can identify a little bit more T20 talent, and I think that's the way forward.
Yeah, that's interesting. What about just the overall view of the summer? I've been dying to talk to you for a week or so now, because the story about the Pakistan players testing positive and some of them in a cafe and all that sort of thing. What's the feeling about the summer of cricket in New Zealand?
Well, the feeling was really good, and you know, we're going to have the odd positive case coming in. I've been in isolation. I'm on my last day, boys. I've got one more sleep from Dubai and the IPL. So you know, I've done 13 nights, and it's not an easy thing to be stuck in your little room and confined. I've had the golf clubs out. I'm lucky enough to have just enough room to have a few chips and a few along my room, which has been good. But look, it's not easy. I can understand the temptation around it, but you know what's coming. When you come to New Zealand, you know what you've got to do. And we've been, you know, I think as a country, as a government, we've dealt with this pandemic pretty well. And to be able to have capacity crowds, to be able to go to the mall, to be able to go to, you know, school functions, to be able to go and just live your life freely, you've got to do these 14 days and do them properly. And, you know, this Pakistan side, they chose not to do that. And, you know, they put the tour at risk. And I heard, I don't know whether you saw the show about piece, being an absolute chop on social media. I couldn't catch my breath. But he basically accused the New Zealand government of being, of just saying, look, being above their station and telling Pakistan that they should be allowed to go home. And Pakistan should have picked up their bags and left, according to Shoaib Akhtar, and gone home and said, we're not coming back here for another 5 years. So I couldn't quite believe that. But, you know, hopefully they've seen the light now and they'll behave themselves from here on in.
Settle down, shall we?
So, yeah. So just back with to Phillips, will he play today? Because was his knee buckling under him in that innings? But he sprinted off the ground at the end of the innings as well. So one of the all-time great innings, but there was a bit going on with him.
What a problem to have. He's got a permanently dislocated, or dislocatable, if that's such a word, kneecap. So he's got a very loose kneecap that dislocates on him. I won't say on a regular basis, but it's happened four, five, six times in the last 6 or 7 years, I think. So it's just every time it gets a little bit looser. And he basically said every time he tries to slog it to cow corner, which was quite a regular occurrence, that's when the real issue starts to occur. So they have to tape it up, strap it up quite strong and try and hold it in place. And it's been a bit of an issue for him because he's a wicketkeeper as well. For those that don't know, Glenn Phillips is a very, very good wicketkeeper as well. So he spent a lot of time up and down behind the stumps, and I don't think that's helped the situation either.
He'll
play today. We've got quite a few guys going over the hill. So the trip from Mount Maunganui to Hamilton for the test match, likes of Tim Southey's leaving, Ross Taylor's leaving. Who else is in that squad? That's Kyle Jamieson heading over the hill for the test match. So there's a few of those guys are going to join the test squad as of today, and the side will be captained by Mitch Santner.
You mentioned before, or we were talking about New Zealand's recent performances in T20s before. If you look at your opponents at the moment, the West Indies, they're two of the last three T20 World Cups they've won. They're currently ranked 10th in the ICC T20 rankings behind Afghanistan and Bangladesh, if you don't mind. What have you made of their performance so far?
Pretty ordinary. They're a side that they'll gather together for T20 World Cups. I think when you look at this West Indies side, they've been the hardest hit team by these professional T20 leagues that are played around the world. They've become, some of them, mercenaries and T20 mercenaries around the world, and that's kind of all they want to do. Their test side's been hit fairly hard, although I think Jason Holder and what they've done with that current test crop are doing a very, very good job. But their big-name players, as far as T20 cricket is concerned, are really plying their trade all over the world at different times. So when it comes to a World Cup, yes, they can get the Russells and the Bravos and the Narayans and these guys back, and they all want to play in a T20 World Cup, but they don't want to tour. They don't want to play these overseas tours. And so, therefore, this is the sort of West Indies side I think we're going to have to get used to. And we're just going to have to see them probably at their best and peaking with world-class players at T20 World Cups from now on in.
We'll see how it all goes. That first test is a couple of days away between New Zealand and the West Indies, the last T20 today. Looking forward to all the action, of course. Simon, great to have a chat as always. We'll do it soon. Take care.
Cheers, guys. Have a great day. Thank you.
All the best. Simon Dool giving us a bit of a snapshot of that New Zealand Windies T20 competition. They are a debacle. Imagine being the West Indies, two of the last three T20 World Cups. They're behind Afghanistan and Bangladesh in the rankings at the moment.
I think this is...
Yeah,
sorry. This is what happens though. Yeah, when you don't pay your players, well, of course they're going to go around the world to play cricket and make some money. Yeah. It's their profession.
Yeah, and this is the thing: is you accumulate ranking points for playing around the world, on a monthly basis or whatever you want to call it. You can't just sort of get together for World Cups and then think you're going to be ranked higher.
Interesting times in the world of cricket.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, this is the thing with the West Indies T20 cricket, they love it.